Hi and welcome on Resonance 104.4 FM with me, Yadette Gerez. This is the Circle Day Show. On the 3rd of June was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Another year, her and her family reign. Fantastic. Can you sense my sarcasm? Word of warning, if you're a monarchist and a royalist, this is not the show for you. Let's proceed. On the show to talk about the subject is Patrick Maguire, who is a class war and MARM veteran. Hello.
Hi there.
So let's get cracking. My nickname for you is Patrick the Executioner, because that demo is you dressed up as an executioner, haven't you? Tell me about the MARM, which stands for Movement Against the Monarchy. It was in the late 90s, right? Is it still around?
Yeah, MARM never really went away. Some of the people that were in the group may have gone off to do other things. I mean, there's been, you know, wars since then, like 2003, there was a war in Iraq and so on. Some people have gone on to do other things, you know, protest about other stuff. But in 1998, one of the biggest marches against the royal family took place with people from class war and movement against the monarchy. Didn't manage to get to Buckingham Palace that time, but there's been other, you know, kind of process that have gone on. There was in 2001, there was the moon against the monarchy. 2002, we had the Golden Jubilee, where, you know, 50 of us were arrested by the police, unlawfully detained. Basically, we won that case against the police. And we then celebrated 1 year later by hiring an open top bus and driving around the route that we'd been taken on when we'd been arrested. And, you know, I'd really like to again say to Sir John Stevens, thank you very much for that, because, you know, we had a really good time. Thank you.
Last year at the royal wedding, before you got the chance to hold a protest on the 29th of April with Chris Knight and the rest, you got arrested and detained for 25 hours. What happened? And you can watch the video on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, basically, I was actually doing stuff for a theatre group. That was going to play a sort of a detective in a theatre play. And I'd been rehearsing for that role and got a call from Professor Knight that Channel 4 wanted to speak to me. They wanted to do an interview for a programme, because people were getting really, really, you know, there's so much pomp and so much stuff going on. You know, the royals this, the royal wedding that. People got fed up. And Channel 4 has, you know, been a kind of radical kind of channel they are, wanted to do something different. So they wanted to do something to the alternative royal wedding. And they got me to put this costume on, you know, asked me, you know, can we do the interview with you wearing the costume? And there was a sort of working guillotine. I do want to state that the actual blade was wood and it was painted silver. It wasn't real. It was fully working. And basically on that day, if we had have been able to proceed, we would have probably have executed the effigy of Prince Andrew. I mean, that's who we really wanted, or that's who I wanted. And the reason I wanted him was because of his association with a convicted paedophile. That's why I really wanted him. I wasn't really interested in, you know, Princess Catherine and, you know, Prince William. You know, have your bleeding wedding. I'm not, it doesn't bother me. But there was a lot of things around it as well. There was sort of, you know, some of the people that were invited over to this wedding, you know, some of these people from countries, you know, leaders with the worst human rights abuses against their people, been invited over to England to celebrate, you know, the wedding of William and Kate. You know, it was sickening. You know, if I'd have had a sick bag then, I probably would have puked right all over it.
You can buy sick bags.
Yeah. There were sick bags made by a wonderful lady artist, came out with some fantastic looking, you know, raw blue and red, you know, sick bags. She's done it again this year, you know, for the Diamond Jubilee. And I'm not sure how much they are, but I, you know, I'm sure that there'll be a lot of fun.
Anyway. Well, let's talk about a little bit about the Jubilee. Now, I hold the belief that the monarchy ain't any more divine than I am, or you are, at the end of the day. So, yeah, tell us a bit about the Jubilee this year, then.
Well, this is the thing, you see. You know, we keep having this, you know, pumped into our heads, left, right and centre, that, you know, we are born equal. Well, you know, if that's true, then it just comes across to me like some people are more equal than others. And, you know, this 60 years, you know, 60 years on the throne and so on. Well, what's really happened in 60 years? I can pick out several things. You know, we've had decades of violence, killings, murders, bombings in Northern Ireland and on mainland Britain. We've had the Queen's sister, Princess Margaret, who had lavish Caribbean holidays at public expense in the 70s. And reliable information that comes back to me is she used to have some romping sessions with a known felon, an East End gangster. Called John Bindon. You know, so this is, they've got links to the criminal underworld. You know, but that's not the end of it. It's not the only member of the royal family that's got links to criminals. I mean, we've got Prince Andrew's association more recently with a convicted paedophile. You know, somebody that was going after, you know, underage girls. And, you know, all this thing that, where people, you know, royalists will come out with the view, oh, this is our heritage. This is, you know, what a heritage to have. You know, we've got members of the royal family dressing up in Nazi uniforms for parties. We have the association with, you know, criminals, gangsters, you know, paedophiles. You know, when's it going to end? When's it going to end? It's just, you know, royalists come over with this view that, you know, they bring, you know, tourists come over and they bring money into the economy. Well, I'll tell you something, more people actually visit the Millennium Wheel than visit Buckingham Palace, and that's a fact.
Yeah. Well, how about we explore some of the arguments that pro-monarchists would say to us, who are anti-monarchists. So one of them, you already said, it generates a lot of tourism. I guess we can quash that by saying, well, if we turned Buckingham Palace into, like, I don't know, into a museum or a B&B, that would generate something more positive.
Turn it into a theme park.
A theme park.
I mean, that would get so many people visiting it. You know, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like your, you know, Disney World in London.
Without Mickey Mouse, because...
Without Mickey Mouse, yeah.
We could dress up one of the monarchists as Mickey Mouse, maybe. What I forget now, what other things did they say? They say, well, it's tradition?
Tradition. Well, you know, it's like the what I mentioned earlier about heritage and tradition and so on. Well, you know, this is the kind of tradition we had. I mean, this line that, you know, the monarch, as we, you know, Elizabeth, wouldn't have been on the throne if it wasn't for her father's brother. You know, I mean, it was Edward who would have been king, and so on. And he had the association with the divorcee, Mrs. Simpson. There is also footage and, you know, documented photographs of him visiting Hitler, Adolf Hitler. I mean, you know, this just seems to be, you know, the thing with the current royal family is you've had, in the past, their links to Nazis. And present day, members of the royal family wearing Nazi uniforms. Whether it's a costume or not, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if I mean, some people get quite offended when I wear an executionist costume. But it kind of highlights, you know, what I'm actually protesting about. But this guy, he gets put in the newspaper for, you know, a Nazi uniform at a party and so on. And people forget about it. And they go, oh, the lovely royal family. Oh, let's celebrate the Jubilee, 60 years. Believe me, it's 60 years of crap.
I was thinking, what could we say to people that live in this country, in England, especially, England, who are really pro-monarchists? What message could we say to them? Because obviously they're proud of their country, this country, which is really, really good. But how can we separate, you know, the monarchy from the country? Because a lot of the time people like, you know, EDL kind of like, they kind of focus on the flag, the queen and country. How can we kind of explain that that's not doing them any favours?
Well, you know, this is the thing, you know, this is what comes over, you know, the EDL saying it's England, you know, this is the English throne and so forth. But you have to remember, she's not just the monarch of England. She's the monarch of Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, parts of the Commonwealth. She's still the head of state, you know. So all this about, you know, this is an English throne is complete nonsense. I'll give another example. Their greed, the greed of these people, you know, these members of the royal family, they are that greedy. I mean, there's properties from Victoria Park Road right through to Cambridge Heath Road in Hackney, which are owned by the Crown. The person who owns them is Elizabeth II. She owns these properties throughout Gore Road, from one end, as I was saying, Victoria Park Road, to Cambridge Heath Road. And she's evicting people. She's evicting tenants and to sell off the actual properties to another landlord. So these are people. If this was a monarch that cared about her people and wasn't there just for greed and personal gain, why would she want to evict the people? Her, you know, these people that she wants to support her.
Protect, or whatever.
Protect, you know, defender of the faith and so on. You know, why is she evicting them? And it's been going on now for several years. You know, people are being evicted. You can go along Gore Road and you can see empty houses and empty apartments and stuff like that. It's not right.
Yeah, absolutely, and they basically like the bankers and everything. They are guilty of like just taking a stake in it, you know, stealing again from the public. Yeah, so much for, you know, protecting the people, whatever. What do you think about David Starkey's interpretation of the empire and glorifying the monarchy in history, despite the true background of who they really are and what they've done?
David Starkey, yeah, he's a, I've seen some of the programs. He's a bit of a jugger, isn't he?
He's a joke.
Let me see. You know, it goes through history. You know, there's, you know, he says he comes across giving the pro. You know, they was great. They was this. You know, they made us all civilized. No, believe me, what the people that made the people civilized of this country were the Romans, mate. They were the people that made the people of this country civilised, the Romans. And before them, it was the Normans, right? Because Saxons over here, right? They had no law, you know? It was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And that's the way things went. And here we have this Elizabeth, Queen of England, saying, I can trace my roots all the way back to a Saxon king. These were people. The Saxons weren't civilized, you know. The Celts were far more civilized than the Saxons, you know. I mean, we had the conquering of the Saxons in was it 1066, right, by the Normans. Thank goodness for that, I say. Thank goodness that, you know, we had some Frenchies come over and sort them out, like. He gives this impression, David Starkey gives this impression that they're such wonderful people. And the media, you know, after it comes out, you know, this little, you know, these little stories come out, you know, Harry wears Nazi uniform and Prince Andrew, you know, talk with a paedophile and stuff like that. When all this comes out, they try to hush all that up so that we forget about it. And they try to, you know, they put on this. It's like, you know, the telly over the last few days, you know, non-stop pro-monarchist stuff. Oh, the whole country is coming together to celebrate. I'm sorry, the whole country is not coming together to celebrate. It's just pockets in the various parts of the country that are coming together, throwing a little, you know, parties and someone like that. I'll give you an example. In Hackney, we have the former chief executive of Hackney Council, Penny Thompson, who's lives in Albion Square. She's taken over with others, taken over the little small publicly owned park in that square to have this, you know, 60 years of the crown. Charging people £20 a ticket to come to this thing, and £8 per child. So if you've got sort of like three children and two adults, you know, it's going to cost £40 for the adults, and it's going to cost £24 for the children. I mean, you add that up, that sort of like, so it expels anybody that's really working class and a bit struggling, you know, that maybe might be pro-monarchy, and they might go, oh yeah, we'd like to go out and celebrate. And, you know, £20 a ticket and charging that sort of amount, it kind of says, like, you're riffraff, you're a peasant, we don't want you here. But we will have you. Why don't you come along to our events? Because I'll tell you this, you'll have a far better time an anti-monarchist event than you'll have at a pro-monarchist event, and that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, exactly. Most people I know are going to run away during the weekend of, well, during the Jubilee anyway, so like this whole like nation coming together is just ridiculous, because we're not actually doing that, most of us anyway. I like to refer to the crown as, because it's made of diamonds, isn't it, as blood diamonds, because that's really the truth of it. Next question: how do you think all the anti-monarchy street parties went? That's a good way to oppose the pro-monarchy street parties, isn't it?
Well, there's been parties all over the country, ain't there? I mean, the big one in London was City Hall, and that went really, really well. You know, I mean, there was a bit of, you know, heckling and stuff like that. We saw the barge come down, the big chant was sink, 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 and, you know, it's quite good fun. You know, different people there for different reasons. They all had something to say, and, you know, the speakers were fantastic. But we weren't the only, you know, anti-monarchist party gathering. I mean, there were people gathered together in Leicester, in Glasgow. There was people in Belfast that had little anti-monarchist parties. Nottingham, Leeds, Birmingham, and coming right down, there was a little event down in Canterbury, Kent. There were some events happened in sort of Southend and places like that. So to say that most of these things that went on were pro Jubilee celebrations, well, now you know that, you know, that there was a lot of anti-monarchist stuff out there as well, because we're not all royalists, you know. Not all of us support the royal family. Not all of us, you know. A lot of us think they've been sponging far too long, and for, you know, off the people who really break their backs out there, and that's the working class. Mm. I mean, they break their backs every day, right, to earn a pittance. Right, these people live in lavish luxury, in you know, palaces all over the place. Have lavish lifestyles, Caribbean holidays, you know, stuff like that. While people are scraping together to, you know, get food on the table and the stuff, you know, it's time that it all stopped.
Yeah, exactly. Someone said once about referring to the monarchy and how it just goes to show that we're no more sophisticated than bees to still have this hierarchy, isn't it? It's quite a funny way of looking at it. And also there's a comedian out there which I'll have to post on the website, but he's Australian and I forgot his name, but he's a really funny guy, kind of like the new Bill Hicks. And he was saying, you have no right, this is directed at the British public, to talk about anybody else's country when you still believe in fairy tales. And it's like, it's really, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, it's really like kind of a realistic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Do you not like kind of fantasy?
It just seems, you know, it's like there's, it's just, everywhere you go, you know, there's this thing about the rules, you know, bringing in, you know, stuff, you know, trade with other countries and so on. Well, we know what kind of trade went on when Prince Andrew was it the trade secretary or something that went out. What did he do? Arms deals, right? Bringing trade into, you know, this country, yeah, for the arms dealers, yeah. Like, not for like the likes of you and me that trade, you know, we're doing trade with a certain country and stuff, and it's providing, you know, the production of cars or something like that, or we're building something or we're creating something and which can be exported around the world and stuff like that. You know, these were arms deals. And, you know, the way he's, you know, during interviews, the way he snubbed and spoke like that we were the shit under his shoe. You know, the people who continue to support a regime like that, or to support monarchs and their offspring, you know, that they sicken me. They absolutely sicken me now.
Me too. Lastly, because we've run out of time, we've got like 1 minute. Most important, really, I saved the best to last. It's a really important question. Do you think they're lizards?
Lizards. That's a good one. That's David Icke, isn't it?
It's ludicrous.
No. Lizards, no. Leeches, definitely.
Yeah, good way to end the show. Okay, so that's all we have time for, unfortunately. Thank you very much, Patrick, for coming on. Until next week, turn on, tune in and kick off.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
sadly, that's the end of the show. This show and previous you can find on www.thecircleday.com, and don't forget to like the Facebook page to keep updated. To buy a Circle Day t-shirt, you can find it on www.subcat.com. That's Subcat. A big thank you to Subcat for printing this t-shirt and sticking it on their website. I'm getting mine very soon and I can't wait. Till next week, turn on, tune in and kick off.